I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
One of the things that we'll cover in the seed production workshop is kind of the three different classes of how plants pollinate and how you need to be aware of those. I wouldn't dissuade anyone who has an interest in seed from coming.
Today's guest is Jared Zeistro. Jared is the California Research and Education Specialist for the nonprofit organization Organic Seed Alliance. He has a master's degree in plant breeding and plant genetics from the University of Wisconsin and has worked in the organic seed industry for over 6 years, managing seed production at two farms and conducting research and education projects with Organic Seed Alliance. Now we're going to talk about an event that's coming up real soon. It's on September 4th, and it's a seed field day. What's a seed field day?
A seed field day, in this case, is going to be quite a lot of things happening. It's happening at the Garberville Community Farm, where they have been producing seed now for a number of years, and they have a lot of different things going on, and we're going to be looking at some of those things, but I'll maybe just walk you through kind of the activities for the day.
Okay.
So there will be a workshop on seed saving and seed production, both kind of for on-farm use and if you want to be getting into commercial seed production, knowing some of the ins and outs of that world. Then there will be a talk on seed marketing. So say you're growing seed, how do you sell it? Then any field day needs to have time out in the field. So there will also be a field tour where we'll be looking at some different variety trials that John Finley at the Garberville Community Farm is growing. Tomatoes, watermelon, broccoli. These are all varieties that he's evaluating to decide which ones to produce for seed. So we'll look at how to conduct your own variety trials and also look at how he's producing these things as seed crops.
And nice to see that he's offering watermelons in there, because I think we're getting so used to these days seeing seedless watermelons in the market. And that's kind of, it seems to me, kind of a dangerous sort of way to go, to be breeding some plants without having seeds in them.
Yeah, obviously the background for a seedless watermelon, there are seeds that are used to plant to grow those seedless watermelon, but it is kind of a dead end. Yeah, and the ones he's growing definitely have plenty of seeds in there. They're wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And then other parts of the day, everyone likes to see things in action. So we're going to have some real get your hands dirty seed cleaning demonstrations of cleaning a mix of cover crop seeds. And we'll probably do some tomato seed cleaning and a few other things. So people get to see how you do it kind of on a small to medium scale.
Uh-huh. Tomato seeds are kind of interesting, just in that they've got that little gelatinous substance around them that you've got to get down past to be able to save those seeds. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. How do you save tomato seeds? They require this really fun process of fermentation. You actually have to let them mold a little before they'll eat away that gelatinous membrane there. So you'll get to see that whole process if you come to the field day.
Uh-huh. And one of the interesting things about seed saving that I found is some of those plants where you really have to protect your plants from other species that they might cross with. I'm always thinking of the carrot plants, because there's so much Queen Anne's lace in Humboldt County. And, you know, if you've got to be, I think, a quarter mile away from a Queen Anne's lace to breed carrot seeds.
Right. So one of the things that we'll cover in the seed production workshop is kind of the three different classes of how plants pollinate and how you need to be aware of those. So there's ones that self-pollinate, like tomatoes and some beans, that can be planted very close between different varieties without worrying about crossing. There's ones that are insect pollinated, like carrots, that need to be, you know, planted, like you said, a quarter mile up to, depending on how concerned you are with what you're crossing, you know, up to a mile away. And then there's ones like corn and beets, spinach, they're all wind pollinated, and they need to be more like a mile or up to 3 miles between different varieties of the same species.
And that kind of makes it difficult for some of the people who are doing organic corn production. If there's anybody who's growing a more conventional variety nearby, that they have to be concerned about some of that cross-pollination and contamination.
That's right. And one of the great things about Humboldt County for its future potential as a seed producing area is that we have a lot of isolated pockets of land and a lot of people that are really set up to be able to grow a seed crop fairly far away from any likely contamination. A lot of seed is grown, you know, in big valleys like the Central Valley or the Willamette Valley, where there's a real limit to how many different things they can produce because of that contamination issue.
I've been noticing at the farmers market recently, there are more and more farmers are bringing seed to market. It seems like a new thing that I haven't seen in the past.
Yeah, hopefully that's just going to grow and grow. I think that it's a real emerging market as more people see the value in seed and begin to distinguish between, in the same way that people have learned to distinguish between farmers market produce and wholesale shipped produce, people are beginning to see the differences in seed and why it's important to support local seed. I think as that happens, we're going to see more and more farmers growing seed.
I think it's really neat, too, that you know that the seed is going to do well in your area. I mean, I think we've looked at some of the larger seed companies have been regional, you know, that you at least know that it maybe it's something that does well in the Pacific Northwest. But really, the Pacific Northwest is a pretty big area, and it's really nice to be able to buy local seed and know that it's going to do well just in this really small area here.
Yeah, that is exciting.
So this is coming up pretty soon, September 4th, and is it free?
So yes, it's free. It's from 9:30 to 5. There will be snacks and drinks provided, but bring your own lunch, brown bag of lunch. And it's free thanks to support from a USDA grant that's here to help support increasing seed production in this area.
Has the USDA been supportive of small farming efforts in the past, or is this kind of a new trend for them?
They have a program for rural business development, and they've been supportive of a number of different enterprises. This similar project of helping get seed production going, specifically this Family Farmer Seed Co-op, a co-op of organic seed producers, has happened in Oregon, Washington, Colorado, New Mexico, and a number of different states.
And who do you see coming to this event? Do you see it's going to be mostly farmers, or do you think people who have small gardens, they might be interested as well?
I think that a lot of people can get great information from this event. I think that the target and the folks that'll get the most benefit are people that are looking at producing seed commercially, various scales and sizes, people that have already begun doing it or people who are considering doing it, they're going to get the most out of all of it. But I wouldn't dissuade anyone who has an interest in seed from coming.
Okay. So this is going to be coming up on September 4th. It'll be down there in Garberville. And where's the Garberville Community Farm located?
Okay. So the way to get to the Garberville Community Farm, and you can find more specific directions on OSA's website, seedalliance.org. But if you're heading south, you would take the Sproul Creek Road exit and then continue. You'd make a right as soon as you get off the exit and continue down the hill, maybe half a mile or so, and then it'll be on your left, and there's a sign that says...
Sign on the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For more information about the Organic Seed Alliance, you can go to seedalliance.org. And is there a way for people to contact you directly?
Yeah, you can either email me, jared@seedalliance.org, or my welcome phone calls, phone number 608-957-4829.
Great. This is Jennifer Bell. I've been talking with Jared Zeistro. Jared is the California Research Education Specialist for the nonprofit organization Organic Seed Alliance. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you so much for having me, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.